Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries today. We've been talking about confession this week and believing. The things that we confess is what we believe we have, and that is the things that we possess. So if you don't believe you have these things, you do not possess these things. But yet the Word of God tells you exactly what you can do and cannot do. So let's come to the Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, as your word goes out today, I ask you to give men and women revelation and understanding from your mighty word, because you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And I ask you to reveal yourself to us as we quote your words. May people lock on to these mighty promises, and may it change their lives, and may they never be the same. In Jesus' name, I thank you and praise you and worship you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, as we talk about confession and possessing what we confess, and the next thing in this list, I've been talking about this the last couple of days, I want to confess that my God shall supply all of my needs. So I possess all of my needs have been met by Christ Jesus. Now then, as I said, any time you make a confession, you need to go to the Word of God and see, does the Word of God say what you're saying? Because if you will listen to most people talk, you will realize the Word of God does not say what they say. The Word of God will say great and mighty things, and if you begin to confess the Word of God, great and mighty things will begin to happen in your life. Now then, if you confess that my God shall supply all of my needs, so I possess all of my needs have been met by Christ Jesus, we take scripture which is in Philippians 4:19. In Philippians 4:19, the Word of God says, "And it is He who will supply all your needs from His riches in glory because of what Christ Jesus has done for us." Now then, if you are a tither, now first of all, in the few verses before this in Philippians 4, Paul was talking about all of these Christians that were giving sacrificially into the work of the ministry. And because of their giving, Paul said, "Now I know that my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." If you're not a tither, if you're not a giver, these promises, you cannot confess those things because they will not work for you. Because when it comes to giving, you have to know the Word, and you have to be obedient to the Word to do what it says. Just like in Luke 6:38, the Lord says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. Because with the same measure you use to give, will it be returned to you. For the man that gives sparingly, sparingly he will reap. For the man that gives or sows bountifully, bountifully he will reap." So every man will reap what he sows in life. So when it comes to giving, there's no difference. The Word of God and these principles that the Lord laid down, these spiritual laws, work, and they work every time. So if you are a tither or a giver over and above the tithe, then you will be blessed bountifully, and your supply will all be met. So in that case, you can confess that my God shall supply all of my needs because I am a tither, I am a giver. I know the Word of God will be returned to me like it says. So I thank you, Lord, that my supply is met by Christ Jesus. Now then, as we study the Word of God the last few days, we've noticed that we confess and possess what the Word of God says. The way is truly marked in the Word of God. "You shall have what you say, whether good or bad." Now, I have seen lots of little signs in places of business, even in the world. I've seen signs where people say, "If you think you can, or if you think you can't, you are right." Now, that is true. People that think or say they cannot do something, they cannot do something. But if those people will begin to say, "I can do those things," you can do it. Either that or God was a liar, and I think we all know the answer to that. Our Lord is not a liar. He cannot lie. He tells us clearly in Titus 1:2 that he is God and he cannot lie, that only the truth can come from him. And as he tells us these things, the truth is always in him. So, if we say what the Word of God says, and you begin to say it over and over, and you begin to take these promises and speak them, you will see great and mighty things begin to happen in your life. Because of your confession, you will begin to possess what you say. So, if you will begin to confess who you are in Christ, your life will begin to change. Now then, again, I want to confirm everything I say with the Word of God. Because in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18, I hear so many people that don't know who they are in Christ. They do not know that they're righteous. So if you don't know you're righteous, you can never walk in the power of the Spirit. But when you begin to understand that the Word of God tells you who you are and who did it for you, then you will begin to confess what the Word says. Now then, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18, we should confess that I am a new creature in Christ, because the Word of God says in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Now, who does that include? That includes all the believers. So it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, whenever you begin to get that in your spirit, that your spirit, the day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you literally became a new creature in Christ. All old things are passed away. You're supposed to change now in the way you do business. So you are a possessor of eternal life, because your spirit in you has just been made brand new, and it's been made alive. Now then, that your spirit, your human spirit, has been made brand new and it's been made alive, you need to feed that thing so it will grow. Now, unfortunately, so many of us are just like myself. I became a born-again Christian when I was 11 years old, in a little country church in Cross Plains, Texas. That's where my mother and dad lived when I was 11 years old. And that little tiny church is still there. They've built a new one since then. The old one has been torn down, but they built a new one there. But still, that church, that Baptist church, is still there. That's where I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior as an 11-year-old boy. But I did not know that I was a possessor of eternal life. I just knew something happened. I had no knowledge. I had a brand new spirit, but I didn't know who I was or what I could do. And, of course, the enemy had no trouble with me. I had no knowledge of the Word. Yes, I went to Sunday school on Sunday, but I learned so little. In other words, what I was doing, I was feeding my spirit maybe 1 or 2 hours a week. Out of the 168 hours that's in a week, I was only feeding my spirit maybe 1 or so hours a week. But this fleshly body that I live in, I sat down at least 3 or 4 times a day as a young man, and I would spend anywhere from 15 to 20 or 30 minutes feeding this physical body. So let's just say an hour or an hour and a half a day, every day I spent eating. So if I spent just 1 hour a day eating, I fed my physical body at least 7 to 10 hours a week, every week. Well, my physical body It was strong because I'm feeding it a whole lot more than I do my spiritual man. So when I begin to feed my spirit man 5, 10, 15, 20 hours a week, guess who began to take control of me? My spirit. And I became a true possessor of eternal life and began to see the Word of God begin to make a great difference in my life. Now then, we are delivered from the power of darkness, because in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 says, we're giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now think about that and what that means to us. We are delivered from the power of darkness. We, as sons and daughters of the King of the universe, we are no longer under the power of Satan. We have been delivered because the Lord has delivered us. When we become a born-again Christian, we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and he has conveyed unto us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. When you think about that great and awesome promise, we're no longer under the control of the devil. Satan has no power to us no more. We're sons of God. And when you learn that, then you can drive the devil away and get him to leave you. Now, we're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ, because in Romans 8, 16 through 18, it says, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, then we may also be glorified with Him. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. So think what that means to be a joint heir with Christ. That means that everything that was available to Christ is available to you. So study your word. I want to invite you to call me at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106 for tapes, videotapes, and audio tapes of these kinds of teachings. And I want to invite you to my Sunday afternoon teaching at 2 o'clock till 4 o'clock every Sunday afternoon at 10-921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We'd love to have you come and receive a miracle from the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.